Thank you, Jerry, and we'll turn it on over to you. Happy Perfect Pie Day, everybody. Phone lines are open. We'll have our spring training Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Taking your calls across the Sportsnet Radio Network until the bottom of the hour, and then we will keep it local with Blue Jays Talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, until 5 o'clock Eastern Time. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 1-0. Caleb Gindel, 2-for-3, including the hit that drove in the game's only run. Daniel Norris, 3 1/3 innings of three-hit shutout with a walk and three strikeouts. We will hear from him a little bit later on, and he was not at all happy, it sounded like, with his outing today. I asked him to sum it up, and he said, well, it's a good starting point for the rest of the spring. Wasn't thrilled by it. Gregory Infante, Steve Delabar, Aaron Loop, Kyle Drabek, and Chad Jenkins wind up finishing up the shutout. And thanks again to Deonner Navarro, Chris Dickerson, and Jeff Blair for helping us out up here in the broadcast. We will have Joe Siddle back with us tomorrow, and we'll have Joe with us every step of the way the rest of the spring, with one exception, next Sunday, March 22nd, when the Blue Jays take on the Tampa Bay Rays here in Dunedin. So no word on who will be joining us then. It depends on what the pitching schedule is, and it depends on who's got some time off. But hopefully, well, I know Liam Hendricks is interested in doing it. I'm sure Chris Dickerson would love to do it again. Hopefully we'll have some new blood in here and get you to meet as many of these Blue Jays as possible. But it's just an absolute blast having these guys up here, players on the team doing the games for us during the spring, and not with a headset from the dugout or anything like that, but right up here with us in the broadcast booth. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Give us a call, talk to Mark Boffo. If he says you're good to go, then you get to talk to me. And hopefully you enjoy that. Jesse's in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jesse, you're going to lead things off on Blue Jays Talk. Hello, Jesse. All right, we can't seem to hear Jesse. Figure out what's going on back at the ranch. And until then, I will let you know, again, the phone numbers to call are 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Apparently, our next caller is there, Max in Scarborough. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, great, Max. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Yes, watching the game, and this team looks more aggressive than they've ever had been. Like, they look more better than they were, like, last year. I mean, I think, you know, this team really wants to contend to go to the playoffs this year.
What are you seeing that's more aggressive? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I would say they're just checking on hitters and how to run, like, you know, with pitchers that, you know, on pitchers that they simply, you know, they probably never have faced before yet. You know, like, okay, learning from veterans that have faced them before.
That's interesting. I don't know if I would say that. I think that this has always been a team that's wanted to win, and a group of guys that have done the best of their abilities. It's a different group this year, certainly, and having guys like Russell Martin and Josh Donaldson does sort of change the mood in the room and that sort of thing. But I think that this is just a group of really good, really talented players that absolutely want to win ball games.
Well, that's just it. This looks like a team that's determined to win and wants to, you know, go all the way into September just to, you know, get into a wild card spot and hopefully into the division, the division finals, and hopefully to the World Series. But I don't want to think too far ahead. And this is just a different atmosphere than we've seen in, like we saw last year.
Okay. I appreciate the call, Max. I don't really see that. I think that I think a lot of people tend to forget the past and how excited people were last year and how excited people were the year before that and all that stuff and get caught up in the now. And it's okay to get caught up in the now, and it's totally okay to enjoy what's going on. I don't think it's that significantly different. I do think that this is a very, very good team. And I think that this is, even without Marcus Stroman, this is a team that is looking to have a very, very, very good season. Daniel, in Miami, you're up next. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. Happy birthday. Happy Pi Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So my question is about this Gindel kid who you mentioned in the post game, that he's batting 500 and he's turning a bunch of heads. But I wanted to know, in the scheme of things, because you're the usually voice of reason, what does it really mean? Is it something just to talk about now? Can he really make the team? These numbers, you know, like if you look at the numbers of some of the superstars, they're very, very low because, you know, they're going through, they're doing their work, they're doing all these things, whereas the younger guys are playing, you know, as hard as they can because they're trying to make a career out of it.
Right.
So how do you weigh these numbers and this type of performance and opportunity against real numbers in the regular season, and how do you play GM on that thing?
I don't know that you can. I mean, for me, it's always been spring training isn't about making the team, that, you know, your track record is what it is, and you just want to make sure people are healthy and got their timing down. Unless something is incredibly good or incredibly bad, I'm not going to have my mind changed by spring training. But a guy like Caleb Gindel comes in here, and, you know, maybe an early opportunity arises with Michael Saunders perhaps not being able to answer the bell. So it's possible that Gindel could make the team that way, but then you're taking a guy from off the 40-man roster and putting him on and potentially exposing him to waivers afterwards. I'm not sure if Gindel has options left or not for maybe a week. And I don't know if it's worth doing that. But you look back at what he's done in the minors on the way up. He's got some very little amount of major league experience. But this is a guy who is a career 285 hitter in 8 minor league seasons with an on-base, with an OPS slightly above 800. So what we're seeing certainly is obviously an aberration, but it's a great 20 at-bats. But you know, if he was someone who was ticketed to start an A-ball, then there's no chance he makes a team. If Michael Saunders is healthy, really, the way Kevin Pillar and Dalton Pompey are both playing, there's no way Caleb Gindel makes the team. But with Saunders hurt, with Edwin's back, maybe there is a spot for him, and this is someone who has played in the major leagues before, and not much, and hasn't had much success, but you ride a hot hand for a little bit. Thank you for the call, Daniel, and for the kind wishes. And, you know, out of all those guys, Chris Dickerson was here, he's got a shot. Gindel is here, he's got a shot. These are guys who could sneak in if the door opens. And really what you're looking for with these minor league signings is someone who will bust through that door if it opens up a crack and the opportunity presents itself. Blue Jays beat a split squad of New York Yankees 1-0. Daniel Norris, Gregory Infante, Steve Delabar, Aaron Loop, Kyle Drabek, and Chad Jenkins combine on the shutout, a six hitter. They walk two and strike out a total of 8. Back to the phones we go on our Saturday afternoon Blue Jays Talk. Julian is in Toronto, listening in on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Julian, welcome aboard. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. Yourself?
I am well, thank you.
Great to hear you, Jerry, and Joe back on the airwaves. It's heartwarming that spring's right around the corner.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're able to make you guys feel that way out there. It's certainly wonderful to be bringing the baseball to you.
Quick question for you. You may have touched on part of it. Who has stood out to you in camp, and conversely, who do you think is in dire straits to make the squad?
Wow, dire straits. Huh? You mean someone who I thought was going to make it and now might not?
Yeah, you got it.
I don't know if there's anyone like that. I mean, Chad Jenkins has had an up-and-down camp. He got the save today. didn't look great doing it, but certainly didn't look bad. He hit a guy, he threw a wild pitch. But I thought he was up against it anyway, simply because he still has options left, and the Blue Jays may be inclined to run him up and down from Buffalo all year, kind of like they did with him last year and the year before, unfortunately. Really, all the hitters who I expected to do well are doing just fine. They're looking good. I'd love to see a little bit more out of Justin Smoke and Derek Barton, but their swings seem to be at least starting to come around. The standout for me has been Miguel Castro, I would think. Castro has pitched four innings and allowed two hits, no walks, struck out a couple. He's hit 99 on the gun a few times. He looks poised, he looks confident, and he looks ready. I thought coming into camp, he had an outside shot of making the team. Now, that thinking has changed, and I think even at 20 years old, he's a really good bet to go north with this club. We will see as the spring progresses, when cuts are made and, you know, you're starting to face hitters who have their timing, who are getting locked in. You're facing fewer guys who are going to wind up in A-ball. How Castro looks then. But right now, he looks like he's ready to help this team out quite a bit. And again, with Sanchez moving to the rotation, the need for a right-handed power arm is that much more desperate for the Blue Jays. And I think he's the one who's opened my eyes the most.
Oh, great. That's, appreciate the answer there. Looking forward to a great season of Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah, so am I. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 1-0. We are Blue Jays talking it up on this March the 14th. It is a glorious day here in Florida. The Jays improve to 6-7 on the spring. The Yankees fall to 7-5 on the spring with this loss. Tomorrow, it's the Blue Jays splitting up their squad. They'll take on the Atlanta Braves at Disney. And in a non-Grapefruit League game, the Canadian Junior National Team will be here in Dunedin, and it should be an absolute blast getting to bring that game to you. Mike is in Listowel. Mike, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how are you doing, Mike?
Doing well, thank you.
My question, your opinion, I guess, on the second base situation. From what I'm reading and hearing, it almost seems like it disturbs his job to lose. And my thoughts on it are that with Goins, I know the question is bad, but he's obviously giving us the best defense out of all the candidates for second base. So
absolutely.
Is Asturias' bat going to give that much more than what Goins' defense would be if you're comparing the two? You know what I mean? Like I think Goins' defense is going to be more valuable than Asturias' bat compared to Asturias' defense. So I guess what I'm saying is I think Goins should be the guy. Let him go out there. Tell him we need your defense out there, and whatever you get out of his bat is just a bonus. And let him work on it.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of go back and forth on that. I'm really not sure. I wish there was a way to quantify, and we're getting closer and closer and closer on that defensive front, but I wish there was a way to quantify just how many hits Goins takes away relative to how much he costs him on offense if he doesn't hit. Now, he's hitting in the spring, which is wonderful to see. You know, he's going up there and having good at-bats, and he is 6-for-18 so far in the spring. So he's hitting .333. He's got a triple in there. That's all wonderful. But if it's the .450 OPS that we saw last April, I don't think that you can handle that no matter how good the defense is. But if Goins can be a little below average as a hitter, then he gives you a ton and you want to have him here. It does seem like, you're right, that it's a fait accompli that Meiser Asturias is going to be the everyday second baseman. He's the one who's got the guaranteed contract. So I think that that's the way they're leaning. But On the other hand, you know, you're right about Goins' defense. It is extraordinary. Deion Navarro was sitting here saying it's the best he's ever seen at second base. And we can echo that, too. He has been, well, we saw Roberto Alomar, but I mean, he's been phenomenal defensively at second base. And he does, you would imagine, save a lot of runs. Does he save as many runs as he costs? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe more. But, you know, then...
He doesn't get the starting job. Sorry, if he doesn't get the starting job, where is he? He's not, is he going to be the backup, or is he going to go down to AAA?
I would imagine that if he doesn't get the starting job, he's going to go be the everyday shortstop in Buffalo. Yeah. And Ramon Santiago will be the backup here. But I don't know. I mean, that we're still 3 weeks away from those decisions having to be made. That's the way I imagine it shakes out. But he's certainly doing everything he can offensively to show this team that he can hit enough to take with them. And I know we all want to watch him play defense. He's that good. Thanks for the call, Mike. I do appreciate it. Like I said, I go back and forth. And last year, I remember advocating keeping him no matter what he hits. And because that defense is just so... It's otherworldly almost at second base. But then last year, you saw the Blue Jays go through a few weeks with three hitters in the bottom of the order who were just not hitting at all. And you saw how much it cost them. Chris in Toronto. Chris, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me
on.
Hey,
Chris. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I want to talk about, I'm excited about this upcoming season. I want to talk about Daniel Chuck Norris.
Really, Chuck? That's where we're going to go?
So, anyways, you know, maybe, I mean, not a good thing, obviously, having Stroman going down, disastrous.
Nope.
It's been an emotional time for all of us.
Yep.
See this guy go down. But Daniel Norris, maybe this opens up the window for the era of Daniel Norris. And looking pretty good. What are your thoughts on Daniel Norris cracking the squad and his outlook for the year?
Well, I thought going into the spring, I thought he was going to make the team. I thought he was going to be the fifth starter, that Aaron Sanchez was going to go to the bullpen, and that Daniel Norris was going to be a good, productive player for the Blue Jays this year. So that, for me, hasn't changed. What's changed with the Stroman injury is that I think it's less, much, much less of an if for Norris. I think that you have Marco Estrada, and it has nothing to do with the way Estrada pitched in Tampa or in Port Charlotte yesterday or Thursday. Can't remember. The days all blend together. It was Thursday. It has nothing to do with that. And Estrada's going to start tomorrow at Disney against the Braves. I just think you go with the upside plays here. You know Estrada's going to be fine. And he's going to be a solid bottom-of-the-rotation starter for you. Norris and Sanchez should be at least that good. And they have a chance to be great. It might not happen in 2015. But it might, and you want those guys in your rotation. So before Stroman got hurt, I thought Daniel Norris was going to be a starter for the Blue Jays. Now that Stroman is hurt, I still think Daniel Norris is going to be a starter for the Blue Jays. And I think, I'm really, really impressed with what he's able to do. Well, I appreciate the call, and your calls continue at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will hear from Daniel Norris a little bit later on in our program. Right now, let's go back to the phones. Chris is in Toronto. Chris, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I'd like to speak in regards to Aaron Sanchez. Last year, he had a good start, over 30 innings, fueled by a very lucky 150 BABIP. And I'm honestly just really concerned about him this year. Given his track record in the minors of extreme control problems, I just think that he's going to fail miserably as a starter this year. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is that you might want to tone down the hyperbole a little bit. Fail miserably, huh?
Well, just guys with his track record who walk pretty much 5 for 9 over 400 innings, they don't magically learn to throw strikes overnight. It might take a couple of years, but I just think it's going to be a struggle until he learns how to consistently, throw strikes, yeah.
I think you're right. Guys don't magically learn how to throw strikes overnight. And a lot of that, a lot of Aaron Sanchez's minor league control problems haven't been discussed because we saw him succeed in the major leagues and we saw him dominate. Whether the batting average on balls in play was lucky or whether Sanchez just has stuff that overwhelming, it's too soon to tell. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be 150 again, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go be 300 either. I think, I try to kind of walk the line between new school and old school, and I think that you need to kind of move closer to the middle there, because it sounds like a very gospel-y new school kind of guy, and you seem extraordinarily confident in your ability to predict the future based on the numbers, and I have to tell you that no one can do that, no matter how good the numbers are. But you're right.
I know.
Aaron Sanchez did walk 5 guys per 9 innings throughout the course of his minor league career. What you have to remember, too, is that he's 22 years old. He's still developing and growing as a pitcher. And apparently, you know, the Blue Jays were thrilled by what they saw his last couple of starts in New Hampshire, and the work in Buffalo. The walks were still up. They still were. And he may not be able to get them down. And he may be a guy who walks 4.5, 5 batters per 9 innings. But guys like that can succeed with the ability to have high strikeout totals as well. Now, I don't know. But again, you're looking at Aaron Sanchez to be your 4th or 5th starter this year. I think that he can succeed doing that. And I'm really looking forward to watching. Mike Wilner here with you. It is Blue Jays talk in Dunedin. A little quick on the trigger finger back home at Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I know we got a lot of calls to get to, it's true, but conversation's okay. So stick around, whether it's a quick trigger finger or whether it's you guys hanging up after you ask a question, stick around because I do want to talk about stuff a little bit. Don't just make your point and leave. Defend your point and then discuss your point. That's the way things become a lot more fun, I have to tell you, out here. And I understand advanced metrics. I do. But I understand as well that they're not the be-all and end-all. And expecting Aaron Sanchez to fail miserably because he had a high walk rate and a low batting average on balls in play this year, I mean, like, where's the fun in that? Where, enjoy the game a little bit. Don't be so upset and excited because you think you found some flaws in the advanced numbers. James in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
So my question is, I think you've said a number of times that you think Navarro will be traded prior to the end of spring training.
Yep. Or early in the season.
Right, right. So I'm trying to think a couple of steps ahead here on the catching front. Assuming that Martin is able to catch Dickey, can't we do better than Josh DeLoy as a backup? I mean, I really like Eric Kratz, and I liked what he brought both on the offense and throwing guys out. Somebody like that brings some pop off the bench and better defense, frankly, than Toley, certainly in terms of throwing guys out. What do you think?
Well, remember, too, you've only seen Toley really with Dickey behind the plate, or with Dickey on the mound, so that's not a fair representation of his ability to throw guys out. I do think you can do better than Josh Toley as your backup catcher, but I also think that I don't want Russ Martin catching R.A. Dickey 32, 34 times. There's a tremendous physical toll that catching a knuckleballer takes And there's a tremendous mental toll as well. It's like Russ Martin having had 30 at-bats in a game or 35 or how many hitters Dickey faces. And I would love it if Josh Tolley caught R.A. Dickey 10 or 15 or 20 times over the course of the year to keep Russ Martin fresh and make sure that he's not having to go through that every fifth day. Because remember, you're counting on Russ Martin to be an offensive force as well. He's going to be the number two hitter on the team. I like Eric Kratz too, but I think the Kratz love was overstated. Remember, the guy had a .243 on base percentage last year, so he didn't exactly outperform Tolley at the plate, but he has a better arm and he has some pop. That's for sure. You look at Tolley's career numbers, and the more often he sees a pitcher, the better he does against him. So I don't think he's a total zero as a hitter, especially if he was more of a true backup than just an R.A. Dickey catcher. But I do, you know, I want that second guy to be able to catch the knuckleball if Russ Martin becomes R.A. Dickey's primary catcher.
That's a fair point. I go back to what you said a few minutes ago about how we had kind of the three black holes at the bottom of the order for a long time. You know, four, if you include Rasmus and how he was going for a big part of last year. It's just something that I'd like to see a backup that can contribute offensively as well, that has some pop. Maybe it's not Kratz, maybe it is. I think there's a lot of, you know, what he did in Philly the year before. What did he have, 18 home runs or something like that?
Nine.
His career high is.
Yeah, I know, it felt like it too. But, I mean, even in his best year, his on-base percentage was .306, right?
Yeah,
He hit nine he's home runs in 50 games, which was awesome. But,
yeah, he's
you know,
I hear you.
Yeah, you'd love to have a backup catcher who can contribute offensively. I think everybody would, but I don't think there really are any backup catchers who are good, because there are a lot of starting catchers who aren't very good, and those backups would be given a chance to play and to get time. And, you know, I appreciate the way you're thinking, and you're not wrong in wanting to get a backup catcher in here who can do more than Josh Tolley can do. It's just that it's the backup catcher. And the truth of the matter is the backup catcher is generally not going to be very good. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. I appreciate the call. We're going to let the network go at the bottom of the hour. We will take more of your calls, though, right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And we will hear from Daniel Norris as well, and maybe even Russell Martin, too. Blue Jays beat a split squad of Yankees 1-0 here. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
No score. Blue Jays and Yankees 2 at the bottom of the sixth inning. And Sonny Dundee, the pitch hit on the ground up the middle. Base hit center field. Here comes Tolleson. Here's the throw from center field. It's up the third base line. The slide. Tolleson scores without a play. The Blue Jays in flight, leading the Yanks 1-0.
That was the only run of the ball game. Jerry Howarth with the call. In the bottom of the sixth inning, the Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees by a score of 1-0. I'm Mike Wilner here at Florida Auto Exchange Stadium in Dunedin. The Blue Jays 6-7 on the spring. And we are Blue Jays talking it up here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, sportsnet.ca, right up until 5 o'clock Eastern time. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get to Angela in Woodbridge. Hey, Angela.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
And good. This is the famous
really
Angela.
Today?
Pardon me?
Is it really your birthday today?
It really is.
Well, very happy birthday. Mine
well,
is next
you.
Saturday.
It's good to be spring training, baby, that's for sure.
Yeah, the difference is the age. So I'm going to be 81 next Saturday. I'm sure you're far from that. I saw
78
you
today.
I saw you at Fever Pitch, and I enjoyed you very much. And
oh,
I,
thank you.
And I listened on radio today because Woodbridge and Vaughan has no hydro. And so we have nothing that we have to plug in. We'll work now. So I sent my grandson down for batteries and got my radio out. And I thoroughly enjoyed the game listening. I haven't done that in a long time. and I
enjoyed
it.
Well, I'm glad.
It.
I'm sorry that the power's out, but yeah, and I heard about that. I heard Vaughn Mills is without power,
everything's
too.
Everything's out. We're all out. Everybody, yeah. From Steeles up to there. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. So many Transformers went or something, and there's nothing hopeful in sight, so we're looking probably another 8 hours or maybe longer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not fun. Well, I'm glad we were able to keep you company.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I haven't done that since I was about 10. My father would put the Yankee game on, and we'd sit and listen to it on the radio, and that was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I just wanted you to know that.
Well, I appreciate that. Now you got to tell Tim and Sid nice things about me.
Well, I will, but they gave me the impression that you weren't too pleased with me.
That couldn't be farther from the truth.
They said, well, Mike said, you know, it's all right. I said, well, I speak well of Mike.
Good.
Anyway,
I'm
I will
glad
tell
to
them.
Hear it.
I'm going to go down and do the last show with them.
So, oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. So I'll see them there. But anyway, I wanted you to know how much I enjoyed it today. It was wonderful. And especially the results.
I appreciate it. Yeah, the results
Mike.
Good, too.
Have
thank
a happy
you,
birthday.
Angela.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. So if you're out of power and got your radio broken out and listening to us, I'm glad we're along for the ride with you. And I hope everyone is safe and warm and all that stuff. That's no good up there. Rocky is in Markham. Hey, Rocky, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks for taking my call. Just glad to talk about Blue Jays again. Yeah, I think what's that? A lot of people are criticizing about Aaron Sanchez, but I think there's a reason why the Blue Jays signed Russell Martin, because he has one of the best pitch framings in baseball, and I think it might boost up the confidence of guys like Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez. And I think also at the same time, Drew Hutchinson might have a good year because of Russell Martin. And if you see what Russell Martin did for the Pittsburgh Pirates, he made that starting rotation really good, and they made it to the playoffs 2 years in a row. Like they didn't make it to the playoffs for a long, long time. And I just wanted to say talk a little bit about Roberto Osuna. Mel Didier praised a lot about Roberto Osuna, and I want to know: do you think he's going to get called up later on this year? Because they know, I heard that he has really good stuff, and yeah, sure, he had Tommy John's surgery, still recovering, and we've seen glimpses of him this during the spring training. Do you think he's going to get called up later in the summer, or maybe in September, or most likely he's going to get called up next year? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, first of all, about Russell Martin, he is an expert pitch framer, strike stealer, however you want to frame the however you want to say it. He, giving him all the credit for the Pittsburgh Pirates being in the playoffs the last couple of years is a little too much, I think, and I know we can kind of go overboard with those narratives. Drew Hutchinson, I think, is going to have a good year because of Drew Hutchinson, and I think that Russell Martin is going to help. I think Russell Martin's going to help every pitcher on this team, both with his ability to steal strikes with his or keep a strike, however you want to put it, with his ability to throw out base runners, with his athleticism behind the plate, and with just the person that he is, that everyone seems to have really fallen in love with. But it's not quite that simple as, hey, he's a great pitch framer, so everyone's going to have a good year. He's a great pitch framer, so the Pirates made the playoffs. I think having Russ Martin here is going to help a lot. And I'm sure if the Blue Jays do wind up making the playoffs this year, Russell Martin's going to get a lot of credit for it, but a lot of it is also going to be on those pitchers that he's working with, being able to execute and being able to be very good, as they're all capable of being. And Russ Martin is going to help with that. There is no question that he'll help in bringing the best out of them and giving them as much help as he can, even between the white lines. As far as Roberto Osuna goes, great stuff, great arm. He's been tremendous this spring. And, yeah, I can definitely see him getting called up this year. I think that if he pitches well and stays healthy, he probably starts in Dunedin, maybe starts in New Hampshire. But the Blue Jays showed last year, that if a young pitcher's pitching well, they're not afraid to be aggressive with him. I mean, we talk about Daniel Norris, who started the year in Dunedin. Talk about Kendall Graveman, who started the year a level below Dunedin in the Midwest League. And he wasn't a Lansing lugnut very long. He went through Dunedin, New Hampshire, Buffalo, and got to Toronto. And he's a big leaguer now because he earned it. So, yeah, I have no doubt that if Roberto Osuna pitches well and stays healthy, he'll be in Toronto. Maybe as early as July. Who knows? That might be pushing it a little bit, but it might not. I mean, they saw what Aaron Sanchez did last year once they brought him up and how much he helped. And Osuna could do the same thing. You start him in the minors, put him in the bullpen in the majors, so you're, you know, saving his innings a little bit, not putting too much stress on his arm. And that could be a really viable strategy for the Blue Jays this year with that guy who, if he's ready, stuff plays in the big leagues. There's no question about that. Continuing to take your calls on Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open till the top of the hour. When we're done, it'll be Hockey Nation pregame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne. It gets underway at 5 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet 590 The Fan when we are all done taking your Blue Jays calls. And we will get back to your calls in a minute. But first, let's give a listen to the man who started this game, Daniel Norris. 3 1/3 innings of 3-hit shutout, walked one, struck out three as part of the Blue Jays 1-0 win. Here's Daniel Norris' post-game scrum. Daniel, what did you think of your outing?
I thought it's a good place to start building. It was okay. I wasn't as sharp as I would have liked to have been, but you know, it's a matter of going out there and competing, and that's what it's all about.
It's kind of interesting. When you look here, you throw 3 1/3 shutout innings, and from the sounds of it, you might have been happier with the start in Lakeland where you gave up a couple of runs.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just at this point, it's feeling the ball come out of your hand. It felt better in Lakeland. But, you know, in the second inning, Pete came up to me. He's like, hey, you know, you're trying to be a perfectionist out there. You're not going to be perfect. And I understand that. I'm well aware of, you know, how hard it is to try and be perfect, but that's just the nature of the beast, I guess.
How tough was it dealing with that blister?
It was not really anything. It was on my thumb, so it's not, didn't really affect it. Just I was trying to keep the blood off. So.
It seemed like you were changing speeds a lot out there today, right from the start. Did you feel like you had a good grasp of your off-speed stuff?
Yes and no. Sometimes I was kind of rushing my delivery, and that's why some of them were left up. But you know, it was a matter of making adjustments, and that was a positive that I can take of it. I made some adjustments, and you know, felt a little bit better towards the end.
Do you have a preference between the curveball and the slider?
It honestly goes from day to day. Yeah, it just kind of depends what I'm feeling. When I'm feeling both, it's usually a good day. So,
when you're rushing or you have kind of minor adjustments you want to make with your mechanics, do you feel that you're kind of in a better place now than you would have been in the past to kind of make those in-game changes?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's just the feel for pitching that I have is a lot better now. That way I can, instead of going from inning to inning or batter, now it's pitch to pitch sometimes. And so that's where I've kind of grown and matured and gotten better at that.
Is Russell able to help you in that regard?
Yeah, he helps with everything. I mean, he's really good.
This is the first time you pitched to him in a game. Obviously, you've thrown to him before, but so what's different about having him behind the plate for you?
Well, I go out there and I'm very competitive, and he's very competitive, so it's just a lot of competing. So that's a recipe for a lot of fun. Even on days like today where I'm not necessarily as sharp as I'd like to be, it's still, you know, he's helping me out there focus, and, you know, at times he's just telling me to breathe a little bit because I get a little anxious to get out there and throw another pitch, and that's just, you know, that's a luxury having a guy like that behind the plate.
And you had the luxury of having Pompey in center field to help you out a little bit.
Yeah, that's been happening for a couple of years now, so yeah, I'm used to it. I'll give him a golf clap, but I'm not going to jump up and down for him because I've seen him do it a few times.
Yeah, I think he probably should have jumped up and down, at least for the catch he made on Jose Perella in the second inning. Probably saved an RBI double. Dalton Pompey was terrific. And it's interesting to hear from Daniel Norris because, you know, there's a lot of the he lives in a van down by the river and he's a hippie and he's just going around looking for great waves and all of that stuff. And I think people concentrate more on his eccentricities than on his abilities. And he is a phenomenal young pitcher. A lefty with 94 and 96 with a slider and a curveball and a great changeup. Those are not easy to come by, and phenomenal when you do. And he's also as locked in a competitor as you're going to find. And that's why he beats himself up and why he considers himself a perfectionist. And there's a lot more to Daniel Norris than just the fact that he lives in the mystery machine. There really is. Blue Jays beat a split squad of Yankees 1-0. Our Blue Jays talk continues here, and we go to Adam in Toronto. Adam, welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. I've actually been listening to you for about a decade now or so or more.
Wow.
So it's good to finally call in. But
After it took you a decade to call?
I know. Don't take it personally.
Seriously.
But a couple of things. One is I actually played for the Oakville Royals, not at the same time as Pompeii, but in the first couple of years of their existence. So it's good to see the Canadian program bringing out a professional player. And my second question was just about Castro. He's got a big arm. He's only 20. And in the bullpen, I don't know, I think that we should give him a chance now that it looks like Sanchez might be going to the rotation. Just because in the bullpen, really, I think stuff is more important, really, than finesse or maturity or anything. You can just kind of go in for one inning and kind of Billy Koch blow by him type thing.
I agree with you 100%. I think that we saw it with Aaron Sanchez last year. If you go a couple of years back and you look in St. Louis, we saw it with a guy like Carlos Martinez. The year before that, Trevor Rosenthal. You can be 20 years old with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and just come up to the big leagues and blow people away for an inning.
Yeah,
and, I thought they were in love with Castro before Stroman got hurt, and he was probably going to make the team anyway. All he needs to do is keep doing what he's doing and keep looking strong when the cuts start to come and, teams have more of their big leaguers around later in games and hitters are getting their timing.
Yeah, and I mean, with so few innings as well, I mean, he'll pitch, say, max 60, 70 innings. I doubt anyone has a book on the kid anyways, so it'll take a while for them to adjust anyways with that stuff. I mean, who knows, we could get lucky, have a Sanchez-type situation where just no one hits him for a little while.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's even getting lucky or if that's, him just pitching well and people not being able to catch up with it to him, which is it's not a horribly unlikely scenario. And I do, again, there's still 3 weeks left in spring. If he goes up and he gives up five doubles and a couple of homers in his next outing, no one's going to be so excited about Miguel Castro anymore. But I think that this kid is a very, very, very strong contender to be a part of this bullpen.
Good to hear.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
And don't wait 10 years to call again, please.
All right, I won't.
All right, thank you. Brian is in Saskatoon. Brian.
Hi, my first question is, what is your thoughts on Evan Gattis playing left field? You saw him on Monday?
I didn't see him tested at all, but I think it's not something that the Houston Astros are going to do very often. But you know what? If they want Chris Carter to DH, then maybe having Gattis play left is the lesser of two evils in that scenario.
Okay, and my second question is, with Yu Darvish going down with Tommy John surgery, and we've seen other Japanese pitchers with arm trouble, would you, if you were a team, would you sign a Japanese pitcher?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. I'm not holding where a guy is from against him because a few guys have had arm issues. I want talent, and I'm happy to take talent. And, I don't think that there's – I don't think there's anything you can do to prevent a pitcher from getting hurt. Pitchers are made to break, and they're just gonna – and I know people are always trying to figure out why and how, but nobody's been able to do that yet. You had the Jabba Chamberlain rules. He had Tommy John surgery. Steven Strasburg was babied and taken care of as much as anybody else ever was. He had Tommy John surgery. Mark Pryor, they said, had perfect mechanics. He broke down. And for him, it was a shoulder too. And, the same thing with a lot of pitchers, and they're built to be broken. And now they're talking about, it's a different baseball that they use here, and they're pitching every 5 days here as opposed to once a week in Japan. Does that have anything to do with it? I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It might not, but I certainly would not be scared off from taking a Japanese pitcher if he's good enough and bringing him over here.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that because they can help you get more wins and maybe help you with a playoff push. So if it costs that much, I think it's worth it.
Well, it all depends on what it costs. I mean, like, I'll draw the line at, $120 million for 6 years of Yu Darvish. I thought that was getting a little bit out of control for a guy who's never thrown a pitch in on this side of the ocean. But if you have a pitcher in whose talent you're confident and who you like and who your scouts like and who everyone's agreed upon is the guy that can help your team, I don't care if he's from Zambia. I'll take him, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you for the call, and thanks for all the calls. Appreciate them, and we may get a chance to have some more Blue Jays talk tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be such a fun day here at the ballpark. It's a loose atmosphere. It's, you'll see... You'll see Team Canada come out for batting practice with the Blue Jays. You'll see the Jays out there in the outfield when Team Canada's taking batting practice, and the kids just love every minute of it. Greg Hamilton is here, and he's the grand poobah of baseball in Canada. It's just so much fun, and it's going to be our absolute thrill to bring it to you tomorrow. We're on the air at 12:30 Eastern for a 107 first pitch. R.A. Dickey is going to be flipping knuckleballs at the Canadian 18 and under junior national team. I spoke to him about it yesterday. He's a little bit worried. He, the high school kids who've never seen this kind of stuff before and their bats are kind of in tune with that 71 to 81. They might just give Dickey a run for his money. We'll see. He wants to throw 5 or 6 innings tomorrow against the junior Nats. And again, it'll be a lot of fun to watch. All the Blue Jays Canadians will be hanging back here. We're going to have the Pompey brothers together on the pregame show. We're going to have Baseball Canada President Ray Carter up here with us for the first couple of innings of the game. Joe Siddle, of course, a former member of the program, Baseball Canada. All of us here, we're just going to have a blast tomorrow bringing you that game. The rest of the Blue Jays are off at Disney taking on the Atlanta Braves. Marco Estrada will get that start against Julio Teheran. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow. Hockey Nation pregame with Gord Stellick and Mark Osborne coming up next. For Tom Young, for Derek Brandeo, for Jason Leung, I'm Mike Wilner. We'll talk to you tomorrow.